The word thanks comes to mind. Thanks for your love and kindness during this season of the year. Incidentally, I still like to eat. And a lot of the goodies are history. Thanks for coming tonight. I wondered how many there'd be on this holiday weekend. And then thanks for the opportunity to share with you some thoughts from the greatest book in the world. So, the word thanks comes to mind. Let me ask you a question. Now, if we went around the auditorium, if you could give a Bible answer and back it up with a passage of Scripture, be A-okay. But our question's this: what do you remember about Moses and Psalm 90? Now, if you could give something about Moses from the Bible, I won't ask for a hand. I'd give you an A+. Now, I generally remember about Moses, the law of Moses. Psalm 90, for our emphasis tonight, I believe Moses wrote it. He could write it. He could write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He could write Psalm 90. Now, I'm keenly aware some of our brethren would say, no, it was written by an anonymous writer in honor of Moses. I'm not going to argue the point. We will have a discussion, though. I believe that's the inspired word of God. Do you? Now, I don't see any area for discussion there. So, for our emphasis tonight, I believe, as it's attributed to Moses, Moses wrote it. When? I don't know. But I believe he was able to write that psalm. What we want to do tonight is twofold. I'll look at my watch instead of the authoritative clock in the foyer, but I can see it too. I've already told Vance I have a goal tonight, but I will not tell you what it is if I don't achieve it. Most of the time I've been known to, I push 6 o'clock, don't I? But we'll try not to do that tonight. But let's think about the man, Moses, briefly. Let's think about Psalm 90 from the viewpoint that Moses, sometime in his life, was able to write it. And I've also found in some of my recent reading that some scholars feel a lot, we're going to notice in, other than Moses and David, there are anonymous Psalms. Many scholars feel some of the anonymous psalms were written by Moses. Interesting. Based on what the book says, old and new, and then particularly the words of Stephen in Acts 7 in his sermon, there were 3 major periods in the life of Moses, each about 40 years. Prince in Egypt, shepherd in the wilderness, leader of God's people, Exodus, wilderness wandering. Wow. Think of it though. Prince, shepherd, the leader. Now, I'm usually interested in what does the Old Testament say about a Bible character? And then what does the New Testament say about that same Bible character? And if the New Testament sheds light on the Old Testament event, I will say we need to be very familiar with that. So let's do that. Now, this is my reaction. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, the last chapter, which is number 34. And I'm going to read verse 9. Let me encourage you to read all of the chapter, a very high compliment to the man of God, Moses. But in 34 and 9, now Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. He's going to take the place of Moses. For Moses had laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel heeded him. Now, if we're not careful, Moses overshadows Joshua, but he was a great man, not perfect. But God used him as a great warrior. And then the last part of the verse, and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Most people remember that includes the Ten Commandments. So, again, read all of Deuteronomy 34, what's said about Moses. Now, for the New Testament, let's go to the book of Hebrews and chapter 3. And I'm going to read in our lesson tonight verses 5 and 6. But again, it'll help you immensely to read all of Hebrews chapter 3. And the point, I'm sure, that as Brian has pointed out, is Christ is greater. Christ is superior. That even includes Moses. Now, let me read from the New Testament. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But then look at verse 6. But Christ as a son. Moses is just a man. Oh, he was a great man. But Jesus was the Son of God, the Son of Man. He was greater, even superior. Any way you wanted to cut it. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now again, read all of Hebrews 3 and notice what's said about Moses and then what's said about Jesus Christ. For our emphasis tonight, Moses was a servant. Moses was a writer. And Moses was the leader of God's people out of Egyptian slavery and through the wilderness wandering. So, a lot said in the book about Moses. So, now let's turn to Psalm 90. This will be the rest of our time. In my Bible, New King James Version, it's book 4. Psalms 90 through 106. Other than the name of Moses and David, most of the Psalms are anonymous. I've already shared with you, many scholars feel the anonymous Psalms following number 90 were written by Moses. We don't know for sure. That's interesting to think about. And I like the heading for Psalm 90, A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. And that's the title of our lesson tonight, Moses, the Man of God. Now, for me, this is a new lesson. I've shared it with the brethren at Siler City, and my reaction was, hey, it's too long. So tonight, second time, I want to share it with you. Just many things about Psalm 90, but just two we want to emphasize tonight. On the one hand, here's God, eternal, everlasting, permanent God. And then on the other hand, there's us, and that includes Moses. The brevity of life, difference between a human being, a man or woman, and the Son of God, the Son of Man. So look, as we read the psalm, what's said about God. Could Moses have said that? Did he believe that? And then what he says about us, made in the image of God. God's not time-bound. We are, aren't we? Just let me go to midnight and you'd be concerned about being time-bound, wouldn't you? I'm not going to. But. Okay, here's Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Some English translations use the word refuge. So let's read it that way. You have been our refuge in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth. Would that include the Appalachians and the Rockies? Or ever you had formed the earth and the world? Was this before Sanford? Even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Wow. Now, as we continue our reading, verse 3, again, difference between God and us. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. And like a watch in the night, 4 hours. You carry them away like a flood. We're familiar with floods, aren't we? Because rivers can flood and be very dangerous and detrimental. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning, it flourishes and grows up. In the evening, it is cut down and withers. I'm in the evening of life. The morning and afternoon, they're gone. But think of it, 1,000 years versus all these pictures that Moses uses. Verse 7, for we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you. And I thought Jody had an excellent lesson this morning on iniquity or sin. Our secret sins. We like to talk about that skeleton in the closet, don't we? We won't ask for any of that tonight. Our secret sins in the light of your countenance, but God knows. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. 1,000 years versus a sigh. And I'm sure you've heard the next verse many times. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Now, I'm 83. I'm 3 years older than my wife. I'll let you do the math. I don't care if you tell her I gave her age. I may be the one that makes 100. 1,000 years versus 100. 10 centuries versus 1 century. And I sometimes wonder, what's 83 years to God? Oh, we sometimes think, it took 1,500, 1,600 years to write this book. What's 15 or 16 centuries to God? To us, that's a long time. We talk about, we're in the 21st century. I lived a lot of the 20th century. Now, if we believe this, how do we need to respond? Look at verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Any way you look at it, I've lived most of my life. And I'll give you a word of warning. It goes by rather fast. I still remember our daughter when she was a baby. She's in her 50s. So you might think, this will never pass. Yes, it will. And before you know it, people would say, you're old. So let's really restore verse 12. Now, as I looked at the last of the psalm, remember a prayer of Moses, the man of God, I was impressed, verse 13, your servants. We've already read from Hebrews, Moses was a servant. Verse 14, your mercy. Only way I'll ever be in heaven is by the mercy of God. I couldn't live a certain way or give so much that I could say to God, you have to let me in. I still remember we used to define the word grace as unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. The favor of God or mercy of God. 16, your work. God's work. Your servants, there it is again. Your glory. I liked what was said this morning in class about the glory. God's concerned about his glory, isn't he? And if we glorify him, then we're going to have glory too. But I've been guilty of it. Look what I have done. No, look what God did through me. And the sad news is he could have done or accomplished a lot more, couldn't he? So 16, work, servants, glory. And then I've heard all my life that there's God's part and man's part. Well, that's going to be in verse 17. This whole psalm is permeated with what God has done. Return, O Lord. How long? And have compassion on your servants. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And then I really like verse 17. And let the beauty of the Lord, our God, be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Beauty of the Lord, our hands. So that impressed me in Psalm 90. What Moses said about God, and then what he had to say about the children of God. So I still believe with all my being, when a man stands up here and reads from this book, that's God speaking to you and me. And I find it interesting, we have an opening and closing prayer. We have prayers at the Lord's Supper and for our offering. That's us talking to God. Wow. God talks to us, and then we talk to him. Can you beat that? Can you put a dollar sign on that? So. Now, what do we glean from Psalm 90? God is everlasting. God is permanent. Is Moses still with us? No. He's been dead for many years, hasn't he? He was just temporary. And what about us? We're mortal, aren't we? Doesn't the book talk about we go back to dust? That's rather temporary, isn't it? Now, I realize some would say, wow, 83. And if I'm the one that in our family tree that makes 100, they'd say, wow. And I'm sure one of the questions would be, how would you attribute living that long on this earth with all of its evil and violence? And even in our country, isn't that sad? Let me share with you one other verse. Let's go to the book of Romans, New Testament. Chapter 11 and verse 22. Now, remember, this is New Testament. This is the law of Christ, not the law of Moses or Old Testament. Therefore, consider the goodness and severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but toward you, goodness, if you continue in his goodness, otherwise, you also will be cut off. Now, I'm going to use some other English words. I personally believe this will not do any violence to the text. But if we're not careful, here's how we read it. Therefore, consider the love and wrath of God on those who fell, wrath or punishment. But toward you, love, if you continue in his love, otherwise you also will be cut off. Now, I believe in both. I disagree with those who say, well, in the Old Testament, he was a God of holiness and more anger and wrath and punishment. In the New Testament, he's a God of love. And some would even go so far as to say, everyone's going to be saved. You mean Hitler's going to be in heaven? That's what you're really saying. Everyone's going to be in heaven? Is the devil going to be in heaven? Now, we started out, all I could think about was thanks. And I like Doug's comment. Did you grasp it the other week for our offering? We had Thanksgiving Day. We give thanks. We usually associate them with the holiday system. You give. So, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. I believe we need to be thankful every day and give every day. But we started out, what do you remember? Now let's shift. Are we thankful for the favor of God? The blessings of God? And I wonder tonight, if Moses were here, what would he say? That you need to always remember, never forget. Would he say, you need to be faithful? You need to be ready. Let me just throw out, was Moses faithful? Was Moses ready? Is that what he would say to you and to me? Harry, you need to be faithful. Whether it's 83 or 100, be faithful. And then would he also say, make sure you're ready for the day when you're going to give an account for how you've lived on this earth? So, now that's the next Sunday, will still be part of this year, 2019. I'm sure we're, like me, looking forward to next year, 2020. And really, it's not that far away, is it? And whatever events you have planned for next year, they'll be here sooner than you realize, even if it's the latter part of the year. So, are you faithful? Are you ready? So, now my goal was we wouldn't go to 6 tonight, so. It's 17-6. But the main thought still is, are you faithful? Are you ready? And I'm old enough to remember when M. Norval Young said, we need to put Christ back in Christmas. Now, at that point, we were really emphasizing, we don't observe Christmas or the birthday of Jesus or Easter. What he was really saying was, even in the holiday season, we need to be faithful to Jesus. And we need to be ready to meet God in judgment. So, I'm going to have a hymn of encouragement. I like the song we're going to use, The Balm in Gilead. How have you responded to God's call or invitation? Would you like to come, or we ask you to stand and we sing?